You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Chof Vav, and we are holding in the middle of the sugya of Temed. And you will recall that yesterday's Mishnah, the latest in the series of the Mishnayot that contrast either one thing to another, or one state of a thing to another. So we were talking about Temed, which is a type of wine that's made out of absorption of wine from lees, or from, as Rashi, this is really a little machlokas, Rashi tells us here whether it's from lees or whether it's actually from grape products, but not leftover products, but not necessarily from grapes that had been turned into wine, because lees include all kinds of other things. But in any event, the Mishnah defines the situation as dependent on hichmitz. So if, in the end, this temet turns out to ferment, at that point it becomes wine. Wine can be bought with kesem maser. Wine does not pass a mikvah. But so long as it is not fermented, it has a din of water, therefore it cannot be bought with kesem maser, and therefore will pass the mikveh. Now the problem with this is, as the Gemara points out today, it doesn't seem to add up to deal with all of the issues, because mani matnitin, who is this Mishnah going according to? Neither Rabbi Yehuda nor the Rabbanan. Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan. And that's the only other information we have, the Tanya. Hamitameid v'natan mayim b'mida u'matza k'dei midato patur. The Rabbanan say here that if you make temed and you put in a certain amount of water, you measure the liquid that you take out of the temed, and it's precisely what you would put in, then it's patur, which is mashma that it doesn't matter whether it turns out to be machmitz or not, because there's no actual wine product here. All we're talking about is the taste. And as we spoke about in Avodah Zarah and other locations, taste of wine, as Tosis explains over here, is not considered to be wine. It's considered to be a sort of spirit, kiua. It's just a sharpness that is really just some alcohol, but it's changed completely. It's not really wine, even if it has a taste of grapes in it, it's not really wine. And therefore, the Rabbanan hold, the only issue is there actual additional liquid content here and it changes? Then we could talk about it in terms of real wine. Otherwise, we're talking about nothing but taste. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he says, well, if you find the same amount, it makes no difference. This is temet. Now, I mean, apparently, it makes no difference whether it was yichmitz or not. This completely, I mean, everybody's ignoring the issue in the Mishnah. The issue in the Mishnah is, well, we don't care how much of it there is. All that we care about is whether it's fermented or not. And here we have two shito that only care about how much it is. They don't seem to care about whether it's fermented. So who is this Mishnah? I mean, Rabbanan, are you trying to tell me the Mishnah is going to leave the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan say that even if it would have been machmitz, so it doesn't help to say that if it was machmitz in the Mishnah, it would be temed. Why did the Rabbanan say it would be temed if it's referring to a case of matzakidei midato? If it's going a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda didn't mention a word about needing fermentation. He said, you just do the standard thing that you usually do, and that's called temed. You don't need to see that it was fermented. Avagav de lo yichmitz. Omer Reb Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, look, The machloket over here may not have mentioned hachmatzah because that was the underlying assumption of both of the sides. In other words, given that we do have fermentation, the Rabbanan are saying fermentation per se proves alcohol content. It doesn't prove that it's wine. And Rabbi Yehuda says, if it ferments, then I don't need to see anything additional. If you did it correctly, then that's wine. In which case, the Mishnah would go according to Rabbi Yehuda, that everything is dependent on fermentation, and it's irrelevant to us how much there was in the runoff from the temet. That's the simplest way of learning it. Now, obviously, he could have said the exact opposite. He could have said that the Mishnah is talking about where Dafka, the Machlokas rather, is talking about Dafka where Sholo Ichmitz, but the Rabbanan would have begoda if it was Ichmitz. And Tosis and Rashi both explained that the reason he didn't want to do that is because he believed that Rabbi Yehuda would also have potter if there's no indication that there was anything done with the Temet. You neither got additional material nor any indications of chimutz. What makes you think there's anything whiny about this? Because you had it stuck on grape products. I mean, maybe they were dried out and useless. So that doesn't make sense to say that Rabbi Yehuda would say even without chimutz. Therefore, it's more reasonable to say both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda are talking about machmitz. The Rabbanan say hachmatza alone is a proof of kiyua, not a proof of yayin. That's a reasonable machloket. The Mishnah that says that if it was yichmitz, we don't really care how much there is there for Rabbi Yehuda? V'chein amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, it's talking about kish yichmitz in the machloket between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the way to understand the Mishnah would be alig Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, once we're already talking about Dinim of Nachman, quoting Rabba Baravua, which we just did in saying how to understand the Macholkes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, how to explain our Mishnah. He also said an interesting other halacha, which doesn't seem to add up that well in our Mishnah, because what he said here was that if you go ahead and you sell some Temet, now let's say right now you bought Temet with Kesef Maaser, okay, now you're the seller, the other guy's the seller. What's the din of that money? If the temet was wine, so then the kiddush on the money went off onto the temet, like every time somebody buys something gets a baser. But if it was really water, then that money is still kadosh b'kiddushas maaser, because there was no exchange for kiddushat maaser. Well, said Rav Nachman, you should know that if 3 days later it turns into fermented temet, at that point, retroactively, we now know that it was a good kinyan. Because there's no way... Look, obviously fermentation doesn't happen instantly, but also obviously fermentation doesn't happen to water. Fermentation happens because they're products they're going to be able to ferment. Those products, Alibda Rabiuda, are the wine products. If that's the case, then you don't expect necessarily to have your proof right away. So let's say 3 days later you detect that it's fermented. So then that proves that there must have been real peri here in the first place. Obviously, you could buy grape juice with kesef maaser, so it turns out you brought grape juice. If it never ferments, fine, then it means you bought water. So it's all a function of what happens in the end, because if in the end it turns out to ferment, then you go to l'mafreya, the piro. It's now clear that it was always perot. Wait, so I don't understand the Mishnah then. The Mishnah makes everything dependent on whether it was ichmitz or not, right? So... Rashi learns the question is from both ends, both from the Mechira of Maser, like why are you telling me for sure it was not Kana? Or the Tosfos learns, no, it's Dafka the Psul that we're talking about from the Mikvah that we're asking on. Because Eini Kachin would still be true. Eini Kachin would mean Mitzad HaSafek. I'm not saying 100%, but it's still correct to Eini Kachin. But you can't tell me you passel the Mikvah. How do you passel a Mikvah? It's only a Safek, and Mitzad HaSafek, we don't passel the Mikvah. In which case, how do I know 3 days later wouldn't have turned into Temet? So if you're telling me it works retroactively, then the whole Mishnah doesn't make sense. Because the Mishnah just says, look, see whether it was Yichmitz, but, or not. So Yichmitz in or Yichmitz low? How can you say such a thing? If you had left it lying around, how do you know that it wouldn't have turned out to be Temet, therefore never passed your mikveh? Omar Rabba, you know what? You're 100% right. But that doesn't prove that the Mishnah is against Rav Nachman. Maybe you leave over a sample to test it. So you put a little bit in a kos. Now all we're saying is, if ultimately it's Yichmitz, doesn't possible make it. That's all that we're saying. If it is Machmitz, if it's not Machmitz, then it possible to make it. But the Mishnah doesn't know. The Mishnah tells you how to find out. The Mishnah doesn't tell you how to find out. The Mishnah is just telling you Yichmitz. Rav Nachman says Yichmitz means ultimately Yichmitz. So if that's what the Mishnah means, then obviously you kept a sample in a lab. What's the big question? That's logistics. The Mishnah never comes to tell you logistics.
But they didn't
tie it. You don't know. You're a It's all a suffix. They don't tie. Yeah. Rav Amar. Rav says, look, the Mishnah indeed doesn't care. That's the point. It just doesn't care about the ultimate dispensation of it. You know why? Because it's calling out Liber Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has unique shita when it comes to Psul Mikveh. According to him, the reality is irrelevant. All that's relevant is the gross appearances to the senses. And therefore, we don't care if it turns out with a chemical analysis or by waiting around and discovering what it is, that it ends up, well, really it wasn't water. At the time, it looked like water, it tasted like water, that's water, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And therefore, it's irrelevant. So, Hamani Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and there's a famous sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, as we know from the Mishnah in Makot, the Mishnah in Mikvaot, the Mishnah says like this. Obviously, the normal klal, normally it's shlosh lugimayim that fall into a mikveh, that is chaser, passes the mikveh forever, as we spoke about yesterday. How about if those shlosh lugimayim themselves were missing a thimbleful? So if they fall into a mikveh, they're not going to pass the mikveh. We can continue to add water that's kosher and make the mikveh kosher. How about if the missing thimbleful was filled with yayin? So nafal bitocham, kurtav, the same kurtav, was filled now with wine. And there was enough wine there to change the color. So now it doesn't look like water anymore. It looks like rosé wine. So mare'em kemare yayin. V'naflu l'mikveh lo paslu. If it falls into the mikveh, that does not pasal the mikveh, because you don't have the three lugin of mayim. Shlosh ha-mayim choser kurtav shofotov kurtav chalav umareim kemara mayim v'noflo l'mikveh lo paslo. For that matter, even if milk would have been mashlin the shlosh lugin mayim, it also wouldn't have passed it, because milk is not water. I don't care what it looks like. This is the sheet of the Tanakh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer, hakol lech achar ha-mareh. Look, it's all a function of what it looks like. So if it's all a function of what it looks like, lav am Rabbi Yochanan bata chazut hazlina, Rabbi Yochanan says, all we care about is the gross evidence. Nu, zorachinani zil bata chazut. So in our mission, you're saying, but we now find out that at the time, there was really the contents of fruit, and it was going to ferment. That's all very nice. Did you taste it at the time? No. Could you see it at the time? No. So grossly to your senses, this presents as water. That's water. And therefore, halakhically, this was mayim shuvim that passed the mikveh. It's exactly the same as the case in the mikveh, in the Mishnah mikvahot. And if that's the case, lav amar Rabbi Yochanan, continues Rava. Look, what's the problem? Did not Rabbi Yochanan say in that case that hakol olech achar hamareh? Now, you know perfectly well that this is not milk. You're saying, okay, but it looks like water. So, hachanami, the same thing is true over here. You're telling me, but I know that it's going to become yayin, in which case it must have fruit content in it. Do you taste it or see it? No. So, hachanami, zil batar chazuta. Of course, time on that's obviously only the way it looks. It's not necessarily looking, but it's then in gross sensual detectability. In this case, it doesn't look like wine. It doesn't taste like wine. And therefore, time of chazuta, the high mayaninu, it's all water and it's irrelevant. But that's specifically in terms of this halacha. This has nothing to do with the issues of buying mice or shemi or anything like that. That's a different issue. All Rav Nachman was saying is if you don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and over there the question is purely a question of fruit content, whether it's lagabi mikvah or certainly lagabi kinyan of mice or shemi, so fine, you take a look at the fruit content. Nothing so poisonous about that. So far, so good. So either it works out like Rav Nachman because we simply keep a sample in a lab to test, or it works out a libra of Rav Nachman because we're going a libra of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which is perfectly okay. We have other mishnayos that approach the sugya a libra of Yochanan ben Nuri. Now, there are a couple of loose points here that are not necessarily totally central to the sugya over here. But one issue is whether, in fact, the opening of Shlosh Lugin Mayim, and this is the Gemara Makis says, there are really two approaches, whether Shlosh Lugin Mayim should say Chaser Kurta V'Dereisha or not. So if you learn that it's Shlosh Lugin Mayim Chaser Kurta, then of course to say Ma'im Kamara Yayin, the reason would be lo paslu is because it's not even there. So if the gears over here would be Fasser Kurtov, it's because we're lacking the shear. That's the reason that the Tanakhama didn't pass. If it would be Shlosha Lugim, that would be full Shlosha Lugim, and then turned into wine because they now look like wine. So then the Rabbanan, of course, would have said, well, look, bottom line is, you have water here. We don't care what it looks like. It's not, you see, our case is made unnecessarily complex with the issue of Mar'em Kemar'ayayin. I'll leave it there for Chachomim. Because if Lamaisa, I mean, this was the way the Rashi was Bekabo, because it really troubles me that you would, according to Rabboni, you would need two things. You would need the actual shear, which we see from the fact that if it was Chalav, in the second case, it's not going to pass Alibi Rabbanan, because the Chalav simply isn't there. So then the Yayin, if the case of the Mereisha would be without the words Fasser Kurta, would prove that the Rabbanu need two separate things. They need that the Mar'eh should be there and that the reality should be there. That really complicates the sugya over here that we're saying it's going to have Kali Rabbi Yochanan
ben Nuri. It has to be Mar'eh and it has to be less than three. That's
both. What do you mean? No, in order to passel. In order to passel, you would need the reality of the thing both. There and its Mar'eh. If we're Goris Fasser Kurta, so then we don't get into that problem. It's just the Rabbanu say, look, either you've got the Shlosh Shalugim, you don't have the Shlosh Shalugim. And it comes on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to say, you do have it if you have it in terms of the Chazuta. Okay, that's just as I say, it's not really an Ogei Arsugi very much, but it's important to recall that there's a major machlokas about how to read the opening of the Mishnah with or without the words Chosar. Now, the next piece also hangs a little bit loose, and that is Upliga the Rabbi Elazar. Now, what we just said in Rav Nachman, that the machlokas is Kishihichmitz, and the Mishnah is going Aleba the Rabbi Yehuda. That does not work out here the way Rabbi Elazar learns. Why? The Omar Rabbi Elazar Hakol Modim She'ema Fishim Alav Mimakom Acher Ela Imkenichmitz. Everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, that if you're taking off Maaser from this Temed, you cannot take off Maaser from this Temed from another Temed. Because one of them might be Machmitz, one of them might not be Machmitz. The one that is Machmitz is the only one that's really Chayav. So if you took off from one that was Machmitz and one that wasn't, you would be taking off Maaser from Achiyuv al Aptur. And the problem is, if you take off from Achiyuv al Aptur, the Truma, so-called, that you gave to the Kohen wasn't Truma at all. It was just Teva, because it didn't have anything to be the Truma on. The Kohen eats that Teva, which is just as usher to him as just anybody else, thinking that he's eating Truma. And the other way around, if you took from Ptur al Achiyuv, then obviously you've never popped at the Chiyuv, and everybody's going to be eating the Teva. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda himself also agrees, you certainly need to know that it was Ichmitz, which implies that he must hold Kasavar below Ichmitz Machloket. The Machloket was where currently it had not been Machmitz, and all the Rabbi Yehuda was saying was Mitzad HaSafek, and that is B'nei Ubei from the very Temet that you worked on the Manavshah. If it is wine, take it off, and if it isn't, you didn't do anything wrong in being Mafresh water. But certainly Me'alma, you can't take it from anywhere else, lo, because then Dilma Hati Lafreshi Min Achiyuv Al Aptur Umin Aptur Al Achiyuv. So therefore you must be Mafresh. So since he says that according to Rav Yehuda you can't be Mafresh Mimakom Acher, obviously Rav Yehuda was talking about where it was not Machmitz. And that's what Gufo Rav Elazar is saying. Why did Rav Yehuda say that you're, remember, Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuha began the sugya, he said, no, Rabbi Yehuda is talking about where it was Machmitz. Rabbi Yehuda never would have said where it's not Machmitz. If Rabbi Elazar is saying that Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't take it off from anywhere else because you don't know, then obviously Rabbi Yehuda was talking about where it was not Machmitz. According to Rabbi Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, was talking about where it was Machmitz. Yes? No. Why no? Because as Tosis points out, why say that? Why not just say? Why not just say that Rav Nachman works out perfectly well? And this is a different issue. In other words, of course we're talking about Beshikmitz, but Chlokes on its sofa. Now, there's another question. The other question is, but maybe it will be Nachmitz. Since I hold when it will be machmitz, it's as if it was already machmitz. So I currently have a suffix. What does that have to do with the machloket? Since Reb Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuha himself said that you must leave a sample around if you're going to determine what's going to be, because if in the end it turns out to be machmitz, so then retroactively you'll know that it was peir. So what in the world is wrong with this? If it's so full of hachmitz, it's as if it was machmitz. Since you don't know and you want to act upon it now, says Reb Yehuda, well, you got problems. If you need to act on it now, then take off the meiser from it. Because if you take it off from it, you can't lose. If it turns out to be water, so what'd you do? You took off water on water. Thank you. So the Kohen will drink some water. And if it was real wine, and we'll find that out retroactively, you took off from the real wine on the real wine. Just don't get involved in a suffix of taking that from somewhere else. But this certainly has nothing to do with saying that the machlokas were not b'sheif meats. And you're making this big deal that the machlokas were b'sheif meats. Makes no sense at all. That's Tosus's problem with this whole pshat. It makes no sense. It makes so works out so well, believe it or not. So Tosus the Gemara is deity. It's not from the fact that he said that Reb Yehuda is worrying about dealing with it at a stage where it was not machmitz. What bothers the Gemara is that the lashon is mashma. That the Rabbanan and Reb Yehuda are both moda that ein mafrishin alav mimakom acher. That's the pshat. Because he said was, if you take a look at Rabbi Eliezer's lashon, hakol modim. What do you mean hakol modim? In other words, the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda both agree to this point, yes? Okay, so if the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda both agree to this point, that in my b'shim ha'kom ha'akar l'kin ichmitz, mashma, that if it was ichmitz, the din would be that you would be mafrish. But the Rabban and hold you're not mafrish if it's ichmitz. It's only mafrish if you added material. And we were saying the Mishnah made it clear you didn't add material. Therefore, it doesn't make sense to learn it. I'll leave it the way Rebbe Lozer is learning. That's all. It's not komodim part that's a problem. Not that Reb Yehuda was talking about the Shalosh Kmitz. Of course he was talking about Shalosh Kmitz. That works perfectly well, consistently, with the Shita of Reb Nachman. So we need to add that. We need to tweak.
It's not what they said.
It's how they said it. Exactly. We don't. We're just pointing out the way the question is, how do we understand the machlokas as stated? That's all. So it's clear, according to Rebbe Lozer, that the Rabbanan never had a problem. If it was ichmitz, then of course it's temed. Sorry, where did it get the ichmitz from? It was Reb Nachman who was saying, well, just because it's ichmitz, according to Rabbanan, it doesn't prove anything. Because it's certainly not going to tell me, b'shalosh me, what Reb Yehuda holds, it's temed. Even without any chimitz, ultimately, I don't believe that. I mean, what is it? It's a little bit of taste. Why would that make it temed? Okay, you could certainly see that just because something doesn't have enough sugar in it that it's going to be able to ferment doesn't prove that it's not yayin if it has a taste of wine and so on. This is the way you make temet. Lo nora. Fine. I hope you're happy with this. It's very exciting. Now let us get to it. Says the bride, Tana Rabban, a temet, ad shelo hichmitz, meshiko b'mayim. Now we got another issue over here. The other issue is this. You cannot put into a mikveh anything but kalim and humans. You can't put food into a mikveh. It doesn't do anything for food. But you can put water into a mikveh. Why? Not because if you take a bottle of me'edin that became tameh, it will become tahar in the mikveh because you were teivel it. You can't be teivel liquids in a mikveh. But let's say you had something that was tameh that was a plant, and you planted it in the ground. The tumah would disappear. Because whatever is mechuber to the earth is batel, it's tumah. Water becomes batel to the mikveh through hashaka. If it's attached to the mikveh through a shvoferet hanod opening, then the mikveh water that touches the top of it makes the whole thing part of the mikveh, and now the tumah is batel because it's part of the mikveh. That's called zuriyah. It's as if it were planted. So now the question is, if temet was tameh, can it be treated as water in terms of zriyah? That's the question. So here's yet another issue about temet. There's the din of pasling the mikveh, there's the din of kinyan with meiser sheni money, and there's the question of whether it's possible to remove the tumah through putting it into a container, a bottle, dipping the bottle, as long as it has a wide enough opening for one instant into a mikveh, the tops touch, and now it's no longer tameh.
It's just water that would take off the, but if the
Nothing to do about yain. You can't plant wine. You can be mevatel the water to the mikvah. So that's going to be exactly what the difference will be, because the water is a wine. So turn around, and so here we come up with this din about hashaka. So hatemet at shalavich means before it turns into anything that ferments, it's water. And meshiko b'mayim. You can put it into the mikvah, comes tar. But mishi yichmitz in meshiko b'mayim. Omar Rava. So Rava said, you should know, and this is very shocking, that lo shana ala shetimdo b'mayim torim. The only time that this is true is that the water that you mixed into the temet was originally tahor, and then after you made temet into it, it became tameh. So then, yes. But if it started out with water that was tameh, then you cannot be mashik the temet in water. Now this is very mysterious. It sounds absolutely crazy. Tameh meikar lo, and the only possible reason has to do with the difference in the specific gravity. There's no other possible difference. So in other words, if you're telling me that you're going to be concerned with the specific gravity, then what happens is that the water will be at the bottom because it's slightly denser, and whatever is peirot will have floated to the top. That's what you're saying. And therefore your concern would be that if it floats to the top, the hashaka didn't work on the water that's beneath it. It's blocked by what is essentially concentrated fruit because it's been centrifuged out, so to speak. So now it's going to always only be on top. So if that's the case, I mean, it should work in either direction. I mean, then there should be no difference between the water for its original state or its post-temet state. And therefore, Ozer Rav Gavia mibei katil. So Rav Gavia went to say this over to Rav Ashi and asked Rav Ashi, what the heck is going on? So he was over the Shmat to commit to Rav Ashi, and he told him, I don't understand what this is about. Maishnat mei mikar delo, why is Rava saying that if the water initially was tamei, you cannot be tovalut? And again, I'm using the word tovalut loosely. You cannot be zorei. Obviously, because the Amrinan, Ida demaya yakiri, that since the water is denser, shachne tatoi, it's always going to be drawn down, and the pera component will be floating on top. Kofi mele'el. That's your concern. I mean, look, there's no other possible concern. So that's for sure, that's the only thing that could possibly make a some kind of difference as to why the hashaka would help here. And therefore, lo kasaka lo hashaka lamaya. You never did the hashaka lamaya because there was the interruption of the fruit juice on top. Now, Tosis is bothered by the fact that a person who has fruit juice on his skin can still go to the mikveh. And according to this, the fruit juice should be a chatzitza. And he says, look, obviously there's no comparison between fruit juice on your skin and a layer of fruit juice in a bottle, agave hashaka. It's not the same thing at all in terms of here it's the kalkil in it. That's considered to be the act of tefillah. But in any event, just don't that bother you. But if that's the case, said Rabbi Gavi Abi Bekatil, sounds like the name of a good wine, too. Bekatil, Katilian wine. So, Yahachi, I mean, it's exactly the same thing. I don't understand what he's talking about. Let's say the water was tar, then became tame, and now you come to do ashaka, and you're concerned with the fact that the density difference will cause the ashaka not to be good. It's exactly the same problem. Ashaka is not going to be good. So what do you think? There's a difference in the density because of the tuma? Ella, what are you going to say? Why does it work? Because the liquid is mebalbalay. The difference in specific density is not sufficient to cause us to be concerned that there's actually a 100% barrier to the hashaka would be made peirot. So then if that's the case, it would be mababalei if you started with tar and became tamei also. Ela mababalei, okanami mababalei. I don't see that this is possible to make a daf gemina. What indeed would be this svara? So Tosha says, Rava must have held that when something becomes tamei, Mi'ikara, on its own, hashaka would also have to be on its own. In other words, whatever became tame is what it is that you're being mashik. Okay, possible. Continues on with our dear president.
Zabda Heilike Mishnah.
Kol makom sheyesh mecher yesh knas. Now this is a in knas. We're continuing a difference in states. Now, another difference in state of the same object is a female human being who begins as a katana and ends up as a nara. And we know we have two separate sets of dinim that apply to female humans, depending on their age. So if she's a katana, she can be sold by her father for marriage purposes or working purposes, which are interrelated. And if she's a nara, she certainly cannot be, because even if she had been sold as a katana, the moment she presents signs of puberty, she goes out for free. So he certainly can't sell her before after that. I mean, that would be ridiculous. She was im mechura yatsa, so koshken ena mechura can't be mechura, as the Gemara puts it. On the other hand, we do also find a different sugya in the Torah, which has to do with rape and seduction, where the father is the beneficiary of the knas that is applied to the male in those circumstances. But that's only said about a nara. Therefore, it follows that the two sets are mutually exclusive. Koma kom sheish mecher, she's still young enough, so she's prepubescent, to have the dinim of sel, then there's no dinim of the knas. Koma kom sheish knas, ein mecher. If there is a knas, then she must already be a nara. I mean, the whole story is about nara. The nara, the kasa, the bar, and so these are dinim and nara. Okay. Amrav, let's get one thing very clear. The idea that there are two separate sets of dinim in the Torah, ketana and nara, is only true, I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir. But according to the Chachamim, there's knas on a ketana as well. It's also on a nara, but it's certainly on a ketana too. So yesh knas b'mokam echad, detanya. Ketana mibat yom echad ad shetavish shtei saharot, from the moment that she's born. Why in the moment that she's born? Because it doesn't even need to be 3 years old. 3 years old is only to be capable of sexual relationships. Over here, we're talking about sale. So from the moment that she's born, she can be sold. Until the time that she's maybe shtei sarot, in which case the Torah said that she's yotzei b'simani. So yesh lo mecher, but of course, in la knas, that's Rebbe Meir's, we'll see. Misha tavish shtei sarot, and that means, according to Rebbe Meir, even if she is capable of sexual relations, which is from the age of 3, she still is not going to have a knas. Misha tavish shtei sarot ad shetibager. However, in the 6 months between the appearance of signs of puberty until bagrut, there's knas, but it's too late to sell her. Ein lo mecher, says Rebbe Meir. Shehaya Rebbe Meir omer, kol makom sheyesh becher in knas, the kol makom sheyesh knas ein mecher, exactly like our Mishnah says. The Chachamim omrim, well, it's not really true. Ketana mibat shaloshanim, of course, I mean, here the reason that we need to talk about shaloshanim is because before 3 years old, we are not talking about sex. We're talking about physical touch. Doesn't matter what organs you use for penetration, it might as well be a broom handle. Because, again, it's a brilliant insight in the Torah that there is a definition of intercourse that has a shiur, no matter what. And just the way that they look at it in supposedly civil society as intercourse being, by definition, entry of genitals into genitals is ridiculous. What makes that intercourse? And therefore, if she's not bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad, she never had intercourse. Therefore, it's not shy to talk about knas. Whoever heard of a knas on a broom attack? That's basically what you did. Okay, that's assault and battery. Obviously, it's terrible assault and battery, and it causes embarrassment and damage, but it's like any other assault and battery. The added issue of the sexual content doesn't exist. And therefore, we need to talk, they're not talking about sales. Sales ain't okay. Sales is the day she's born. But if she's bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad, then yesh la knas. What do you mean, yesh la knas? But not mecher. Of course, mecher. I'm not talking about mecher. Mecher started when she was born. I mean, af knas. She even has knas while there's still a bit of mecher. So in other words, there would be three stages, according to the Chacham Argan Rebbe Meir. From birth until 3 years old, there's no knas, simply because of the fact that there's no possible way to have relations with her that are mechayev you a knas. Therefore, there's no knas. That's a logistic problem. From 3 till puberty, there's knas and mecher. From puberty on, the Torah says there's no mecher. The knas continues until she's an adult. Kol makom sheyesh mi'un, ein chalitza. V'kol makom sheyesh chalitza, En mi'un. Now here's another interesting difference in states. This has to do again with age. Remember that the Rabbanim were metaken that for the benefit of a young woman who does not have a father to protect her, that it is possible for her to marry as a child to have the protection of a husband. So if her mother accepts Kiddush, brothers accept Kiddush, or even her, she's married until such time as she says, I don't like you. Soon as she says, I don't like you, she walks out. So she has the benefits of marriage, but she has none of the commitments that she's too young to make for marriage, and therefore it's all in her favor. So she walks to the court, she says, look, I don't like this guy. They will protect her from this guy, and she's now a free woman like anybody else. But she can only do that so long as she's a ketana. If she already is a gedola, we don't allow miyun anymore. She's too old to be mama in it. On the other hand, the opposite would be true when it comes to chalitza. When it comes to chalitza, the Torah specifies ish, and we learn how ish mi isha. So the din of chalitza, which, by the way, very strangely, is the only place where we find the word miyun, me'en yad mi, but we won't talk about that. The contrast of miyun to chalitza. But in any event, in order to do chalitza, she has to be im loyach potza ish lakachta. He has to be an ish, she has to be an isha. So therefore, it turns out that they are opposites in stages. Komakam sheish chalitza en miyun. Omre v'yonam rav zudivir rabbi meir. Avokachamim omrim yesh miyun dumakom chalitza. You should know that here too, there's a machlokes rabbi meir and the chachamim. The time. Ad matay abat mima'enet. So if puberty is the definition of the end of miyun, so then indeed it's also the definition of the beginning of chalitza. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a crossover period. And that is Rabbi Yomer Achi Arba Shachor Al Halavan. Some don't have Al Halavan. But in any event, puberty, yes, consists of actually finding signs of puberty, which may be hard to detect because you got to look close, but that's fine. But when it comes to miyun, the Rabbanan gave a different shiur, that the din of miyun is that she is grossly pubescent, so that if she'd be walking down the street naked, you'd notice that she's got pubic hairs. And that doesn't mean literally shachar lavan, that the pubes are covered with hair, but it means that there is sufficient hair there to be noticeable on a gross level. So it's ki'ilu. It's ki'ilu, the area is darkened. And if that's the case, then there's that overlap between the onset of puberty, where certainly she's a gedola, and she's capable of chalitza, but as long as she hasn't redone the kiddush, and they haven't slept together with an intent that would actually create a marriage, then she still is able to be bama in it, because the original kiddush was a convenience kiddush. So much for the sacred nature of marriage. What's that?
I don't like him.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so obviously the Rabbanan value, you have to take into consideration what is more valuable, whether that sense of sanction is more valuable, or the protection and concern for the relationship is more valuable, which is an extremely important thing to note in general. And if you're giving people advice that are going to be sleeping together, have no intention, don't want to ever get married, and so on. But these are issues that, you know, the question how you relate to it is obviously there needs to be an understanding of the realities of the situation, and not a blank look. So over here, the Rabbanan sanctioned, so this word officially sanctioned, created a Rabbanan concept of a marriage for a child. The next Mishnah, Zokta Elikamishn. Kol makom sheyesh tikiya in Abdala, kol makom sheyesh Abdala in tikiya. Here too, we have a difference in the, it's not quite the same, this is a little bit of an ancillary Mishnah. We have similar situations that are distinguished by the particular time. So it's a concept of transition between periods of Kedusha and periods of relative chol, and the different dinim of the types of transition. So a transition that is full is different than a transition that is partial, as we'll see. There was a takona that was made to be tokea. So as you all know about the sign that was discovered, the Beit HaTkiyot, next to the Mokom HaMikdash, they used to get up all the way on top of a tower, blow a shofar. before Shabbat in order to be Bavdil, the Ami Malacha, and after Shabbat in order to announce the onset of Chol. So there's a relationship between Tekiah, which is Trua, the typical Tekiah, Trua Tekiah, and Havdalah. However, there are times where there's a contrast, and therefore what I say is, and we're going to explain in a moment, if there's a din of Tekiah, then there's no din of Havdalah. If there's a din of Havdalah, then there's no din of Tekiah. What I mean is a Yontif that comes out on Erev Shabbat, then before Shabbat, we do Tekiah. Why? Because we need for people to realize that they've got to stop cooking and doing the kind of things they would do on Yontif. They have to stop now. So we made a takana, even though normally we wouldn't do this, obviously. We are Tekiah. But because of that, there's no Havdalah, because you're going to a greater Kiddush. But you don't make Havdalah between Yontif and Shabbat. You don't want to make Havdalah between Shabbos and Yontif, because you're going down in the level of Kiddushin. But where Yontif was Chal B'Motzei Shabbat, so then you do a Havdalah, but you do not do a Tekiah, because you're not being matir, and you're also not asering more. So because of that, we do not do a Tekiah, even though we do a Havdalah. But it's strange, because how are you matir? I mean, you can't say Mavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, can you? It's Yontif. Well, Kate said Mavdilim. You say Mavdil ben Kodesh L'kodesh. Rabbi Doza says, no, you say ben Kodesh Hamur L'kodesh Ka. Okay. Hechi Tokea, how would you do a Tekiah in a circumstance where it's not a typical Tekiah? So Yontif comes out on Erev Shabbat. When you're being Tokea, it's a different Tekiah. I mean, certainly we want people to realize that it's not as if we're being mezalzel in the Yontif. So the difference between one layer of Kedusha and the next layer of Kedusha that's added is not as great as the layer of Kedusha of Shabbos over Chol. So what do we do to distinguish between the two? No. We're simply looking for the symbolism. Since the Tekiah represents the onset of Kedusha, there ought to be an indication in the way that we do the Tekiah that there is a transition instead of a sudden change. No, that's part of our takana for to do. That's part of our takana to do for the covenant of Shabbos. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, what you do is you actually do the transition in the Tekiah. You do a Tekiah with a Trua as part of the Tekiah. And so instead of doing a full Tekiah, the Tekiah turns into a Trua. And that's similar to what's happening. The Yontif has turned into a Shabbat. It's not an abrupt thing, it's a transition. So you went from Chol to Yontif to Shabbos. Do that in the act as well. So be Tokea and be Moreya mitocha Tekiah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, I mean, then you didn't complete your Tekiah. Do the Tekiah, but do the Tekiah in Beneshima Achat with the Trua. So normally, you would have a moment to take your breath, and then you would do the Trua. In this case, do it without that break, but do a full Tekiah followed by a Trua. Obviously, this is okay, the mode of Tekiah Trua on Rosh Hashanah as well. Atkin Rav Asi v'chutzo, and Rav Asi made a takana halacha l'maaseh like his own approach that he had been mekabel, kishmaititi. Now here, we're not talking about the final Tekiah. There is a final Tekiah. It's Tekiah Trua Tekiah in these cases, as the Rambam says.
So that would be separate.
Yeah, fine. But I've made it clear that there's a transition. Meita. Yom Tov Shechal Liyot Be'er Shabbat Tokin V'lo Meri'in. How do you know about this? Here it seems to be saying the difference where Yom Tov comes out on Erev Shabbos is that the Tekiah done is without Trua. Doesn't that sound like without Trua? My love, lo Meri'in Klal? Well, no. I mean, basically, Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain it to me what he wants it to mean, and Rabbi Asi is going to be Matarza what he wants it to mean. Rabbi Yehuda Matarza Taimi, Rabbi Asi Matarza Taimi. We're all agreed it's not a typical Trua. What do I mean by not a typical Trua? Fine, each one has his opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Matarza Taimi, it means lo merin, meaning don't have a separate Trua, make that Trua part of the actual Tekiah. That's how I understand the Braita. Rabbi Asi Matarza Taimi, don't be Meiria as a completely separate kol b'shteni shemot the way you normally would. Ela b'nishima achat, but it does not mean that you can do a Tekiah without a Trua. The nature of the takon of the Tekiah is always Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah. V'motzei Shabbat, we have a machloket, and we say over there, but Where are we talking about? Are we talking about where you start Avdola? So you say, Amavdil, Beit Kodesh, L'Kodesh, Ben Or, L'Choshech. Is that what you do? Or the first part doesn't change? It's just, at the end you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Amavdil, Beit Kodesh, Chomel, L'Kodesh, Kal, or Beit Kodesh, L'Kodesh. But when you start the same way. It's typical Avdola. It just ends differently to make this part clear. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda bechatimata. It's at the end where you close with the Baruch Atah Hashem, but the opening is exactly the same. Chen Amar Rabbi Nachman bechatimata. We're going to see more of this in a moment. Rav Sheshet, right? Rav Yehuda says no. Even at the peticha, we do not agree to that. You don't begin a brach with Amavdil ben Kodesh leKodesh ben Or leChoshech. And we're going to see why as part of the next sugya. Rabbi Dosa Omer, you say Ben Kodesh Hamor LeKodesh Hakal V'let Yochat HaKavata. Now, what happens when Yontif comes out in the middle of Shabbos? Because the typical Havdolah is Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMa'aseh. It sounds sort of weird on a Wednesday to a Thursday to say Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMa'aseh. So do we do that or we take out that part? Omer Rabbi Zera Yontif Shechal Yot Be'emtza Shabbat. You still say Amavdil ben Kodesh L'Chol ben Or L'Choshech ben Yisrael Amin ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMa'aseh. You know why? My time, Seder Havdalot Humoneh. We are talking here about a reference to primal Havdalot that are mentioned in the Torah. We're not talking about today. And that means that the opening of the Bracha, this is the reason why we ignored the other approach of Petichata, the opening of the Bracha is a universal sense of Havdalah. Now, as far as, okay, applying it to this moment, Amavdil ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, Amavdil ben Kodesh Kal, Chomer L'Kodesh Kal. But first I want to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is Mavdil. Where was he Mavdil? Here's the list of Avdolos that we found in the Torah, that he was Mavdil. Now that Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talk about the Avdolah that is at hand. Therefore, even though it's Wednesday, and you're going into Thursday, what does that have to do with anything? You could say, it's the middle of the night. Why am I saying Ben Or L'Choshech? Now, obviously, you understand that the Ben Or LeKodesh is a concept of Avdolah. So it's Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMa'aseh. As if it's what day it is. And therefore, you're always going in Seder Avdolot. Hadron Alech HaKol Shochatin. Money Matniti. Lo Rabbi Yehuda V'lo Rabbona. The Tanya HaMetameid V'natan Mayim B'midah U'matza K'dei Midato Patur. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev. Now, I don't get it. I mean, money. He Rabbanan, they don't care if it was Ichmitz. He Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't care if it was Ichmitz. So, the Mishnah talks about, the only thing we care about is Ichmitz. So, what's going on? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Abba, obviously the Machloket is taken for granted that the status is B'shei Ichmitz. In which case, the Matnitina doesn't mention anything about how much Tema there is. And the only standard the Mishnah Hichmitz is going a little bit of Yehuda. Who doesn't care whether anything was added? Is there a Hichmitz or not? V'chein Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Bishi Hichmitz Machloket. Another thing that Rav Nachman Amar Abba Bohu has said is that Temet Shelakacho B'Kesem Maaser Ula B'Sof Hichmitz Kanar Maaser. My time, Migloim Yotel Lamafreya the Piriyu, because otherwise it wouldn't have been Machmitz. Wait, but then the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Hichmitzin, Lo Hichmitz Lo. How could a pastor the mikveh? The way Tosus learns. Dilma Ishavke Havi Machmitz, and now you're making mikveh pasul where actually was a suffix, and then we wouldn't have pasuled it. Omar Rabba, well, obviously you left a sample, because you shear me men of the coast, Lo Hichmitz. Rabba Omar, no. Actually, the Mishnah doesn't care, because it's going a little bit of Shita Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri here. The Tzan, Shlosha Lugim Mayim, that was Chosra Kurtav, Shadafa Latokon Kurtav Yayin. Umar Im Kamarayai Venofula Mikva Lopaslu. Shloshlugi Mayim Khazakut is off the top of Kurt of Khalab. Umar Im Kamar Mayim Venofula Mikva Lopaslu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Akol Holech Akar Hamar E. Lava Mar Rabbi Yochanan Bata Khazuta Zlina. Same thing here. Bottom line is, forget about what the din is in terms of Kinyan Meiser. What is this in terms of Psul Mikva? Zil Bata Khazuta. Time of the chazut, time of the chazuta, both of high is Maya Ninu. Upligad Rabbi Elazar, Dam Rabbi Elazar, Hakol modim she'in mafrishin alav mimakom acher elim kein yichmitz. So apparently, kasava b'lo yichmitz machloke. V'ad kan l'machayev Rabbi Yirel minehu bei. Avo be'amala diomati lafrishim l'achiv alaptur u'min aptur alachiyev. Tana rabbanu hatemed ad shelo yichmitz mishiko b'mayim. Mi she'yichmitz ein mishiko b'mayim. Omar Rava, ah, but that's only shetimdo b'mayim torim v'nitmu. If you had started off with tmeim, then you can't be meshik. Lo. Ozer of Gavia mi bekatiyun. Omer l'shmaita kameder of Ashi. And he asked, Maishna tmeim mikor delo. Tamrina, I did my akir shachta tatoyu pirkofi miloy. Avalo kasakalu asher akalamaya. So what's the difference? And if it started off with torim, or the sof nitmu nani? El, what are you going to say? That in the end the liquid is mebabli, no. So then from Mayim to Mayim Mikor also was Mekish mebabli. Koma kom shish mecher in knas, for koma kom shish knas in mecher. Om Rabbi Yonam Rabbi Zudiva Rabbi Meir, Avaka Kamim Omru, Yesh knas per mokom mecher, the Tanya. Kitana mi bat yom echad ad shetavish tei sarot, Yesh la mecher ve in la knas. Mi shetavish tei sarot ad shetibager, Yesh la knas ve in la mecher. Diva Rabbi Meir, Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, exactly like our Mishnah. Koma kom shish mecher in knas, koma kom shish knas in mecher. Vechachamim Omri, Kitana mi bat shalosh anim v'yom echad ad shetibager, Yesh la knas. What do you mean Yesh la knas and not mecher? Oh, for heaven's sakes. You see, I'm talking about shalosh anim v'yom echad. I mean, Yesh la knas b'mokom mecher. Koma kom shesh miun ein chalitza. V'koma kom shesh chalitza ein miun. Om Rav Yehuda, Om Arav, this is also Rabbi Meir. Aba chachamim omrim, there's a lap over period. So yesh miun b'mokom chalitza. Tetanya and Matai Abat Mimaenet, Ach Tavish Shtei Sa'aroti, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Ach Yarbe HaShachor Al HaLavan. Koma kom shesh tekiya in Avdala. Koma kom shesh Avdala in tekiya. Yontav shechal yot berav Shabbat tokim velo mavdilin. B'matzai Shabbat mavdilin velo tokim. Ketzad mavdilin, mavdil mekodesh hakodesh. Rabbi Dos Omer, ben kodesh chamur lekodesh hakal. Hechi tokeya, on Rav Yehuda, well, you do a transitional tokeya meriya mitocha tkiya. Rav Asi Omer, well, you have to do the full tkiya. It's still transitional in the sense that tokeya meriya benishima achat. Atkin Ravasi Bahutzo Kishmaite. Mate found both of them. Yontav Shkaliot Berev Shabbat Tokim Velo Merin. It sounds to me, like my love, Lo Merin Klal. Not necessarily. I mean, Rav Yehuda is going to be Matarit to that, Latayme, and Ravasi Matarit to Taime. Rav Yehuda Matarit to Taime. Look, it means you don't do a normal Trua. That's all it means. Meaning, Lo Merin Bifnei Atzma, let me talk at Kia. Ravasi says it just means you don't make a normal Trua. So it's, in the Tarts time, lo merim b'shtei neshimot, avo b'neshima achat v'sto meiria. Ube motzei Shabbat, you say this new mavdom in Kodesh HaKodesh, where? On Rav Yehuda, at the end. A mavdom in Kodesh HaKodesh. Ken on Rav Nachman b'chatimata. Rav Sheshit, Rav Yehuda says, even in the Peticha, you begin with a mavdom in Kodesh HaKodesh, bein, vein, ein, let yilkot akavate. Rav Yedosomer, bein Kodesh Chomer, l'Kodesh HaKal, Om Rabbi Zera, you should know that even where Yontov is Chaliot Bemtza Shabbat, you still say, Amavla Bekarish Komen Olo Chesh Meisola Amim, and Ben Yom HaShvila, you may have answered despite the fact that we're nowhere near either Yom HaShishi or Yom HaShvi. My time, Seder Avdalot Umoneh. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Good, Rabbi Say, we are holding on that Chavav. Actually, we're holding on that Chavav on the base at the Gemara. So yesterday we learned the Mishnah that spoke about, as another one in these series of Inyanim that are interrelated with each other or opposites, spoke about Temet. And the Mishnah said that if the temed, which is water that is placed on top of, according to Tosas, we're talking about specifically shmarim, according to Rashi, we're talking about even on raisins, Tosas points out that they're not quite the same. But it depends, according to Mishnah, on whether it fermented. So if it fermented, so then it's considered to be wine. And there's two important halachas, opposite halachas, that are negiah if it's wine. If it's wine, so you could buy it with kesef meiser. But on the other hand, it won't pass of a mikvah, if a mikvah was chaser, because it said it doesn't have a derech shuvim. If it wasn't fermented, so then it's water and does not satisfy the requirement of buying with kesef meiser, but does satisfy the requirements of psul mikvah by being mayim shuvim. But the only thing that the Mishnah spoke about was fermentation. So today the Gemara wants to clarify this. Money must be seen. The Mishnah that says that we need to discuss only fermentation doesn't seem to work out according to any sheet. Lo Rebbe Yehuda v'lo Rabbana. Tetanya. Hamitamed v'natan emayim b'mida u'matza k'dei midato patur. It says in the Braisa that according to the Rabban, the Tanakhama, if somebody is making temet and he measures the amount of water that he puts onto these shemarim, and actually this was Tosis's riot that we're talking about shemarim and not chatzarim, because this the whole discussion here in the Braisa was talking about dafka shemarim, where there was additional liquid that was available. So let's say he measured out precisely how much water he puts onto the leaves over here, and he measures off what he gets out, and it's exactly the same. So the Tanakhama says it's potter, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav. Now, you'll notice that nobody mentions fermentation. So it's mashma over here that fermentation is not the issue. The question is whether we can see that we have additional liquid that's been absorbed from the shmarim, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, well, we assume that there's been an exchange of contents with the shmarim, which you don't have to have additional liquid, but fermentation you certainly don't have to have. Therefore, the question is money. I Rabbanan. I mean, who are we going according to? If we're going according to the Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan is saying that your potter, unless there was additional liquid, even though by not mentioning fermentation, it's mashmaavagadichmitz, even if it was machmitz, it's still, we know for a fact that it isn't yain. And he, Rabbi Yehuda, afagabdaloyichmitz. Rabbi Yehuda says we always have to assume that there's an exchange of liquids from the shmarim, and the mela definitely is considered to be wine, even though it wasn't machmitz. So according to which of these two shitas is the Mishnah going? Omer of Nachman, Omer Abba Baravua, actually, the assumption was, in this Brisa and the Machlokas, the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, that it was talking about fermentation. If there hadn't been any fermentation, so then of course even Rabbi Yehuda would have agreed that it's not the
same quality, but it's sort of
been for Tubishvat. Oh, gosh, beautiful. Thank you, thank you. And you brightened the whole table here. So, Rabbi Yehuda would also have been made without fermentation. Why would we think it's yarn? You take water, you measure out precisely 200 cc's, put it on the shmarim, measure it when it comes off, it's still precisely 200 cc's, there's no taste of wine, it wasn't machmitz. What did you think that according to Rabbi Yehuda that's going to make something wine, because you happen to set it on top of shmarim without any indication of a change? So Rabbi Yehuda is made that it wouldn't be a pre in that case. The Rabbanan holds, even if it would have been machmitz, no, so it's machmitz. So what does that mean? It's sugars in it that have absorbed it. That doesn't make it that it's yayin. But the Mishnah, therefore, says over here, without chimutz, that it's nothing, and with chimutz it is going aliba to Rebbe Yehuda, huh? Because the Rebbe Yehuda says, even though in the Mishnah saying, I mean, not that I have a reason to assume that I have additional liquid. Indeed, this may be why Rashi talks, it's talking about chatzanim. In other words, the assumption is that we're talking about over here that it was k'dei midato. The k'dei midato means that there was no additional liquid that could have possibly been added over here. Okay, I mean, Rashi himself gives really another insight, but let's not get diffused for a moment. So, therefore, our Mishnah, which says the only issue is chimutz, it doesn't matter whether it was nitosaf or not, was going, I'll leave the Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, it indeed is going to be yayin as long as I made it as tenet. I don't need to have any indication in it about amounts. It's only necessary to see that it was muchmatz. The question remains, can't we just say that the Mishnah is talking about in a case where the argument rather is where it was not fermented, and that the Mishnah, then we wouldn't have to get into this machlokes, could be a libet rabbanan. Right, so in other words, we could say that then it would be going according to the rabbanan. What do I have to go make a mitzvah after a libet rabbanan? Just say the machlokes is that Rabbi Yehuda holds even if it's not fermented. Our Mishnah is talking about if it's not fermented, I'll leave it to Rabbanan. I'll leave it to Rabbanan. If it's not fermented, then it's not considered to be yayin. So Rashi and Tosfos both suggest it doesn't make sense to anyone that Rabbi Yehuda would have held that it's considered to be yayin without any signs in it. It's not fermented. It doesn't have additional material. What's the happening here that we should consider this wine? If it's not reasonable to say such a thing. More reasonable to say that my focus Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is talking about Bishi Hichmitz, even though that forces us to say that the mission is going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda.
There's some tenet that is yes, yayin, and some tenet is not yayin?
Correct. In other words, it would be a matter of how much it was capable of absorbing. And really, each case is different. And the question was how much material could be transferred out of the shmarim, you know, what was the level of the sugar content. I mean, every batch is going to be different. So it's not reasonable to say that if I don't see any indication of chimud, that I should consider it yayin. Therefore, it must be that they're arguing whether it was chimud. The Mishnah, therefore, would have to be going, I'll leave the Rebbe Yehuda, all that we care about. Was it muchmatz or not? That's the issue. The same name Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Nachman's pshat is backed also by Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is davka b'shehichmitz. Fine. So just to sum up, the Mishnah that says that the only issue that we need to take into consideration when somebody makes temed in order to determine whether it's wine or not is fermentation. And that happens to be the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. But I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, the way we're understanding their machlokas. Even though there's no change in the liquid content, fermentation is the only element that determines whether it's temet. The assumption in our Mishnah, since the Mishnah talks about without finding additional liquid, it says habtamet actually means, is that the Mishnah was talking about where lo matzah alakitei midato. Omar Rabba Barabua, Temet Shalakho Bekesav Masa. Now here's an interesting question. If Mishnah is talking about Eino Nikach Bekesav Masa, suppose you went ahead and you bought Temet with Kesav Masa. Now the question is, you can't, if I hand over, let's say I buy a bottle of Mayaden with Meiser money, the seller who sells me the Mayaden has to treat that money as if it's Kedusha's Meiser, because the Meiser was not Bechulava Mayaden. Water, you can't be Makalo Meiser. So the question will always be, if somebody is selling Temet, and this Temet is, if it has been a water, then he's going to, somebody buys it because of Meiser, he's in trouble, he's going to have to eat that money in Yerushalayim, so to speak, buy something with it, eat in Yerushalayim. Comes along now, Reb Nachman, to say that if in the end, Besofi Chmitz, this guy has a barrel of Temet, and he's been sold cups of Temet to people, and they buy with Kesev Meiser. If it turns out that in the end the Temet does ferment, then retroactively the Meiser was Kena. Because now, even though I didn't note earlier that it was Temet, but I now know that it was Temet. It didn't become Temet, it was always Temet. It just was like wine that hadn't fermented, so it was grape juice. My time, Yigloi Milsa, the Mafreya, the Piru. It's clear now that all along it had a din of Paris and not of Bayim, and we simply didn't took time to get the test results. And now we have the test results. Asks the Gemara, so then the Mishnah, Masnisin, Diktani, Yichmitz, In, Lo, Yichmitz, Lo.
The Mishnah says that it all depends on whether it had already fermented. Maybe if you left it around, it would have fermented. Now, Lekor, this is not much of a question. Because the Mishnah is saying what not to do. It's not saying if you did it, what the din would be. I mean, Rav is talking about a case where the guy is selling out of a barrel. He didn't do it right. He's selling every... But now it turns out, a month later, the barrel indeed is all fermented. Now he knows that the temet drinks that he was selling for 5 cents a drink, that even if he got kesef meitzer, he doesn't have to worry about it. What does that have? Well, you can't ask the kasha on the Mishnah from that. The Mishnah says, don't do that. Because you never know, after all, whether it's going to end up being temet, being yayin. Therefore, Tosfos learns that the Gemara's kasha over here is on how could the Mishnah make a determination that if this temet falls into a mikveh that has a din of mayim, how do you know it has a din of mayim? Now that's a case where it happened. It fell into a mikveh. Obviously, nobody wants to passel a mikveh. It's not telling you don't passel a mikveh. It's saying if water falls in that was temet water into a mikveh that was chaser, then if it was not fermented, so then it will passel the mikveh. Says the Gemara, why is it always remains a suffix for mayim? And the din is, as Tosfos points out, if you have a suffix of mayim shuvim, it doesn't possible mikveh. You never possible a suffix mayim shuvim. It's one of the particular din of mayim shuvim that gets into the whole question whether the whole thing is drabbanan, and this is the way we're misakir again, this is not ours again. But the point is that that's a very clear-cut question. If you're telling me that it's not the current state of fermentation that matters, it's the potentiality of fermentation that matters. Why does the Mishnah say, as a matter of fact, that if it is not fermented, it's going to possibly make for the vada'ut? That's what Tosfos learns, a very simple way to learn the question. And the answer, according to Tosfos, also follows in a very simple way. Rashi, however, learns that the question indeed is going back on the way that the Mishnah was talking about how to deal. I mean, obviously, it was also be a problem with the mikveh, but it's also talking about on how to deal with the question of meiser and temet, and therefore the question was, according to Rashi, why don't we go buser rov? Since in rov cases temet will end up fermenting, so therefore we should make the assumption over here that this is already yayin. But the Mishnah says ein nikach, and her tafas a mikveh apparently assumes that everything is defined by its current status. Not that it's a suffix. It's telling you vada'ut, that it's not considered to be peiros at this point. Not legabi kinyan meiser, and not legabi fasseling the mikveh. And therefore, why does Rava say that it's possible to retroactively define something as yayin when our Mishnah completely ignores the issue of retroactive? Tainez Rava. That's when it's called temet beikar. That's what our Mishnah is saying. Otherwise, it's just water. According to our
Mishnah.
Well, called temet what? As far as the storekeeper is concerned, as far as the halacha is concerned, as far as the halacha is concerned, it's not called temet. It's called mine. So Rava, in order to answer how we could have said that retroactively.
Rava,
who wants to say now how Rava said that retroactively it could be considered temet, and yet the Mishnah ignores it, will have to understand. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right. I'm sorry. You're 100% right. I'm still at Rava. I forget. So Rava, in order to explain his position as to how we would learn the Mishnah in this fashion, if the Mishnah could be referring to a case where it could be retroactively temet, would have to learn that I do a test. The Mishnah is assuming that there's a test. Namely, kishishir mi menu bikos, v'lo yichmi. In other words, it's never talking about a case which I use up all the temet. If I use up all the temet, then indeed I would have to go according to Rove and so on, as Rashi says. But over here, I sell the temet, and I keep behind a little bit on the bottom of the barrel so I could see whether it's going to be fermented. And in a month, if it doesn't ferment, so at that point, I know that it was indeed mayim. And the Mishnah is talking about a case, not where I'm making assumptions, but where I find out. And I know that it wasn't temet, lemafreya. Whereas Rava says the way to understand the Mishnah, that it ignores this issue, is that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Nuri. So it's all very nice to say that Rabba was talking about a case where you could define it retroactively. That's true, I'll leave it to Rabbana. But Rav Yochanan ben Nuri holds, it's not. Shlosh alugin mayim chaser kurtov. Shinafala tochan kurtov yai. Umar ehen kemara yai venaflu lamikva. Lo pasluhu. Shlosh alugin mayim chaser kurtov. Shinafala tochan kurtov chalav. Umar ehen kemara yai venaflu lamikva. Also lo pasluhu. So the Tana Kama says, look, you want a parcel of mikvah? Let's just clarify something. You take three lugin, and you require three lugin of mayim shuvim to parcel a mikvah. Now, there's two gyrsos. We'll take the gyrs that we have. The gyrs that we have is both in the ration and save it's as chaser kurtov. If the three lugin is missing a little bit of water, a little bit of wine falls in, and it looks like wine. It's reddish now. So then it doesn't parcel a mikvah. But for that matter, even if milk falls in, and it looks completely like water, it still doesn't pass on the mikveh. Because you can't pass on the mikveh unless you have, in reality, three lugin of mayim. So you need both a shiur of mayim, plus you need the way that the mayim looks. It has to look like mayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, hakol holech achar hamara. Everything goes according to the way in which it appears to your senses. In which case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is willing to say that even if you poured milk into this water and now have three lugin, yes, but we know for a fact there's no three lugin of water here. There's three lugin chaser kurtov plus a little bit of milk, but the total mixture looks like water, tastes like water, it is water. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it's not the facts that count. It's the sensual perception of the facts that count. And in putting in milk, I'm willing to say that, well, but the milk became more water. The whole thing is water to me. So if it's all water to you, then the same thing would be true over here about the Teva. It's all water to you. You're saying, okay, but it has within it this potentiality of turning into water. So what? Right now, what does it look like? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? So then according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's water. So our Mishnah that's saying, forget about the questions of what will be in the future, is essentially going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So what I'm saying is, Lav Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'Chazusa Azlina, says Rava, look, does Rabbi Yochanan not say that you go entirely according to the way something appears? So Achanani Zio b'Chazusa. So go according to how it appears. How does it appear? Well, Taima, taste. What does it taste like? Chazusa, what does it look like? It's all water. The high Mayan, you know. By the way, my understanding of the Gemara, which it runs counter to what appears to be understanding of many of the Farshim, is that the word chazusa in the beginning of the statement is not referring to how something looks, but rather to how it appears. And therefore, appearances, see, everybody's bothered by the fact that first he says chazusa, and then it says chazusa and taima. And in other places it says chazusa, taima, and reva. So how did we go from chazusa to jump to the conclusion that it's taima? Okay, so they give all kinds of explanations, I'll leave it as sugyo. It seems to me it's a dover poshet. The same way that we would say in English, it goes according to appearances. Right? And appearances don't mean only the way something looks with your eyes. Appearances means the way in which you sense it. Then if I want to list the way that you sense it, I say, okay, what does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? That's all included in the appearances. But the general word of chazusa is incorporative to how it is that I would determine by my senses what this thing is. That's all. You see? So it's no problem. The time of the chazusa, the second chazusa over here means what does it look like? Not what's the appearance. So time of a chazusa, the high mayaninu. Since according to Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, this is water, and the Mela, this is water. So according to Tosis, everything is perfect. I mean, the only kasha that we had, basically, on Rava, was the mikvah problem, not the miser problem. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri answers that beautifully, because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, what do we care if it's going to be temet? What we care about is what it appears to be. What it appears to be is mayim. According to Rashi, who learns that the question was both from in the lekicha of kesef meiser and of the mikveh, we'll have to extend Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is not talking about dafka, the concept of mikvos, but he's saying that in all circumstances, all that we care about in defining what something is what it is that it appears to be. All right. All right, let's see how long it takes to get through the rest, because as I said, there's another girsa, and certainly something is a little bit strange, because when we say chosek kurtav in the resha, you understand that the chosek kurtav runs counter to what we seem to want to say in the resha. Because what we would want to say, if I would ask you, if I have two examples, one of which is talking about a change in the coloration, and one is talking about being mashlim with something that's of the same color, then what you would tell me is, okay, to indicate what the din is in the change of the coloration, talk about a case where I have a full three lugin, but I've changed them now to be like wine. Don't talk to me about a case where something is wine where it never had a full three lugin, and then go and talk about the case where it looks like water. Correct? You want to talk about where it looks like water, as you say, even though it looks like water, we know we don't have water. The other case should be, even though we have water, but it doesn't look like water. In which case, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it all depends on what it looks like. Fine, it all depends. Even if you have the water, then even if it looks like wine, doesn't matter. It's not water. Even if you don't have the water, since it looks like water by adding milk, it is water. The way we have it set up over here, I mean, it seems a little bit silly to talk about what the dinner was cluster looks like milk and to have to tell me what the dinner was cluster looks like wine. Then there's no point in discussing the wine case. So we'll have to get back to that. I don't, again, it's really not so much our sugya, but since it's nogea, the pshat in our sugya, I would like to get back to it if we have time. Let's first finish the perek, so that's the Sabbath Josh can give us his beautiful ending that we've been practicing here all night. And then we'll get back to the decision. So says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Uplige the Rabbi Elazar. Now, this whole explanation that Rabbi Nachman said, that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is all a question of a case in which it was bishahich mitz, it does not follow, apparently, Rabbi Elazar's approach. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, hakol modim she'en matmishin alav mimakom acher, ela imkein hichmitz. Rabbi Yehuda, who was Machayev the Temed, remember, the original Machlokas wasn't directly on the case in the Mishnah. The case in the Mishnah was the Shaila whether it's Taifes, the Kiddush of the Momon Meitzer that you use to buy it, or whether you should use it. Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is whether Temed is Chayev to take off Meitzer from it. It's actually Lechumra. As a matter of fact, it's a little bit strange. I mean, their Machlokas, when Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayev, it's talking about Lechumra and Yechayev. And we're taking for granted that that would mean also Lechula. That Yechayev, absolutely Yechayev, and therefore you can use Kesef Meiser to buy it. And that's not so partial. But as Tosis points out, that's the assumption that the Gemara seems clearly to be making over here.
Why couldn't you imagine that? I mean, the stuff it was made from was there any...
No, it wasn't. If it was, then there'd be nothing to discuss. So now, says Rabbi Elazar, that even though what Rabbi Yehuda said was that it's chayev and meiser, he would be meida, hakol modim she'im ma'pishim ba'lav bimakom acher, ela imkein hichmitz. Since, if it hasn't been fermented, you can't really know, can you? Even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Now remember, the way Rabbi Nachman was learning, if it wasn't fermented, Rabbi Yehuda never would have said that it was temet. The whole point over here, according to him, was, well, of course, the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan was talking about where it was fermented. But comes along Rabbi Elazar and says, well, no, actually, the machlokas is where it wasn't fermented, but even though Rabbi Yehuda said, you're chayev, he meant you take off meiser from this liquid on itself. Because since you don't know at this point what the situation is, I can't define for you absolutely that this is chayev. I'm going to take off from somewhere else. How do I know that I'm not taking off from something that is chayev on something that's putter? And if I do that, then the meiser that I gave is tevel. Because since I wasn't really creating a din of Trumas and Maestras on it, the Kohen and the Levi who eat it are going to be Chayav Nisa. Because they're eating something that actually itself was Teva. Since it isn't Maestras, so when did I take off Maestras on it? Correct? And, the other hand, I could say maybe I'm taking off from something which is Potter. Let's see, I'll use another batch of Tenet. Well, maybe this stuff is pure water, and that stuff is Tenet. So therefore, I'll be taking off from something which is Potter on something which is Chayav. But then this Tenet will remain basically Teva, because I haven't taken off from something which is Chayav, it won't be Chal. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is made, you have to take something out of the same batch in order to be Yotzi or Chayav and Meiser. Now, that means that he holds that Rabbi Yehuda was saying you're Chayav even though it wasn't fermented, correct? And that is not like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says it all depends on whether it had actually fermented. So, Atkan lo mechayev Rabbi Yehuda elamineu bei avol mi'amalo. Why is this? Because Rabbi Yehuda, when he says it's chayev b'maiser, he was saying out of this batch it's chayev b'maiser. But you can't take something on it from somewhere else. D'amarati lefrushe min hachiyuv al haptur u'min haptur al hachiyuv. Tana Rabbanan, another issue of Temet is Hashaka. The question of Hashaka. Normally when you have something that is Tameh, you cannot be Matahir it by putting it in a mikveh unless it's a kli or a person. But you can't take a loaf of bread which is Tameh and put it into a mikveh and say, now it's Tahir. For that matter, you can't take a bottle of wine and put it in a mikveh and say, now it's Tahir. But you can take a bottle of Me'eden and put it in a mikveh and say that it's Tahir. It would have to be open at the top, and it would have to be a large bottle, there's a large opening, but you dip it in for a second, the water touches the water in the mikveh, which is called Hashaka, and now it becomes Tahir. Why? Not because Tvila helps on it, but because it becomes part of the mikveh. And that's called Zri'ah. Now, so the same way that if you have a seed that's Tameh, and you replant that seed now, and it grows into something, it's Tahir. Everything is Tahir. The moment it becomes part of the ground cannot maintain Tuma. So here too, it's become part of the earth by being Zoreah it. But you cannot be Zoreah wine. You cannot be Zoreah water. Why that's true is not so pushed. Rashi learns you can't be Zoreah wine, because it always has a shame of wine, and the time of the wine didn't change by being mashikit b'mayim, and therefore the wine, which was known to be tar, remains a separate entity. Now, there's an interesting in the Achronim, Rav Meir Simcha has a chat, that the concept of Zuriya is only to restore something to its natural state. So, in other words, if its natural state was that it was water from the earth, so fine, then it's restored to that position by reconnecting it to the earth. But if that wasn't its natural state, and if initially it began as a grape, you don't restore it to its state. Fine. However one understands it, again, Zriya goes beyond our sugya, you see that Temet has the same problem. If Temet was created from water that's Tameh, and now it would be, we're going to be Machi, or Mamonachov, if we hold that it's still Mayim, and now we want to be mashkid, what would be the din? Therefore, says the Braisa, temet akshelo yichmit, so before it's fermented, you can be matirit. Meshiko b'mayim. So if it became tameh, I would say it's water that became tameh, and I can do zriya on it by being mashkid. But mishi yichmit, once it was fermented, even though it will be makabel tuma, because the wine is also makabel tuma, but there's no way for me to go ahead and to be mashkid b'mayim. Comes along Rava to say a very strange thing, that lo shana lo shekibdo b'mayim torin. When do we say that Hashaka helps for Temet that wasn't fermented? That Daka, if originally the water in it wasn't Tahir, wasn't Tameh. So it became Tameh as Temet, and now I'm going to Zoreya as Temet. But if initially I make it out of Mayim that are Tmeim, so it was Makabel Tuma as Mayim, and now I want to be Zoreya it as Temet, I can't do that. Temei mikar lo. Now, what he seems to be touching on, Rava, actually, is a deeper understanding of the nature of Zriya. That's why it's, I brought you up that svara of Rameir Simcha. Because, I mean, otherwise, this seems to be a little ridiculous. What's the difference? Bottom line is, if it happens in water, it happens in water. Tell me. But in having changed its condition to now be a water that was made into what it is through tened, or through putting it together with lees of the grapes, I can't view it now as restoring it to its previous state by being mashik it. Because it was originally tabe as pure water, and now it's not pure water. But the Gemara doesn't take that as being a meaningful statement, and therefore, when Rav Gavia Mibei Kisil went and said over this mimer of Rava to Rav Ashi, they were confused. Maishnat Tmeim Mi'ikar Vila, I don't understand. What's the logic here? You're telling me that the water was Tamei Melechatchila, and now you mixed it with Temed, you can't be Zoreid. I would assume that that's because I did the Maya Yakire Shakna Tatoi Upera Kofi Mela'el. It must be because of the difference in specific gravity. So in other words, the density of the Temed is less than the density of water. It will float to the top, and the pure water will separate out and be at the bottom. So when I lower the bottle of Temed into the mikveh, the problem is that it's going to be touching the fruit portion, not the water portion. That's what you seem to be saying. So then what's the difference? And if originally it was mixed and it became tame, so now that it touches the fruit, I can be zoreh the fruit? I can't be zoreh the fruit anyway. So what's the difference when it became tame? If the question over here is separating out the water and the fruit content, then I can't be mitame. And I can't be matiret if the hashaka, no matter how it was matami. So if that's the case, let's see that inside. My time, why do I say if they were tamei miyikar delo? Tamein and I did the mai yakir shachrit atoy. The water being denser is heavier, and therefore it settles to the bottom. And the pera, the part that contains the liquid of the peros, is kofi milael. That now floats to the surface. Velokasalkilo hashaka, and now the hashaka does not affect lamaya, doesn't touch the water, it touches only the peris, and you can't be mashik peris. So then yachitaurinovisovnitmunani, and I don't get it, what's the difference? And if initially the water was tall, and then it became tummy as temet, so it's still gonna sink at the bottom, so why would hashaka help there? Ella, you have to say the reason that hashaka helps in the case of its having become tummy afterwards is because you agree. Then the Baal believe. There's always some movement. It's not exactly a centrifuge in which I'm going to separate out completely the Peri portion and the Mayan portion. So how can I mean the Baal believe? So then if it was Tameh Lechatchila, the water, it's still also going to be mixed. Therefore, I disagree with this. Tosis points out that clearly Rava holds that the Hashaka has something to do with the status in which it was initially. Since over here the status initially was that it was pure water, so the hashaka would work only as pure water. Again, that seems to go beyond Rashi's explanation of why hashaka doesn't help for yayin.
It's clear that the peros is...
doesn't help hashaka?
No, it's lighter than the water. Why is it so clear? On the contrary, we see that in all the juices, we want to see the fruits...
Fermentation will get at the top.
What?
Fermentation.
You take... juices, you always see if it sinks to the bottom, the water usually
is lighter. Mm-hmm. So I think that if it ferments, that's what you're talking
about. As the Gemara points out earlier, there's some on top and some on the bottom. It depends which portion of it.
So shake it up as well, you can get the whole thing.
Well, that's what we're talking about, the Babali, but right. He's saying without being the Babali. Yeah, so there's parts. I mean, it's look. The fact is, you find a bunch of junk on top of the bottle too.
The bottle is junk on the top of it.
You buy orange juice, you'll
okay, it's orange juice, but not something that's fermenting.
It'll go up the top as well.
Look, the Heineken Mishnah.
Another one of these situations in which you have different criteria for different elements of the same thing is. A case of a child, a female child, where we have two dinim that apply to her, mecher and knas. There's a point at which a father is allowed to sell a daughter, and once she's already a nahara, and she has shtei saharot, she goes out, even if she was already sold. Kol shekein, he cannot sell her in the first place. So she's yotzei b'simanim. as we know. And there's another halacha in which that affects a female child, which is that if she is raped by somebody who's seduced, that the father is the one who gets the 50 shekels. That's called knas. Now here says the Mishnah, kol makom sheyesh mecher ein knas. So in a case where the child is old enough that she can be sold, meaning she's still young enough to be sold, then there's no din of knas, because the din of knas is lavi ha-na'ara tamishim kasef. There's no na'ara, she's still a tanah, or she can be sold. If it's possible for her to get a knas, tamakam sheish knas, she's obviously a na'ara, but if she's a na'ara, then she would have had to have simonim, and therefore ein mecher. So the two dinim are interrelated. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, Zuti Brei Rabbi Meir. That's only true according to Rabbi Meir. But according to Chachamim, Avo Chachamim Amru, Yesh Knas B'Mokam Mecher. That there is, in fact, Knas on a child, exactly as much as there is on a Na'ara. And they learn out that wherever Na'ara appears without the hay at the end, it includes also a prepubescent Na'ara. So that was essentially a Yalda. As we see, Titania. Kitana mi bat yom echad ad shetavish shtei sa'arot yesh la mecher ve'in la knas. This is Rabbi Meir's statement. The kitana, from the point at which she is born, because you were talking about sale, the sale isn't dependent on her being uyalaviya, so from the day she's born until she becomes a nara, her father can sell her, but in la knas. From the onset of puberty until bagrut, 6 months, yesh laknas, during that period there is an aviyah na'ara, who can collect, in a case of pitui or ones, 50 shekel, and in lamecha, but at that point obviously he can't sell her, because he's, even if he had sold her earlier, she would have been yotzei en kasef. That's due to the Rebbe Meir. Shaya Rebbe Meir omer kol mokom sheyesh mecher ein knas, v'kol mokom sheyesh knas ein mecher. But the Chachamim omrim, and of course that's our Mishnah, but the Chachamim will argue, and Rebbe Meir say, k'tana mibat shalosh shanim v'yom echad, ad shetibager, yesh la knas. A k'tana does have a knas from the time that she's 3 years old, because the din of selling is not dependent on her sexual capacity. She doesn't have to be 3 years old, she can be the day she's born. Mashenkin, the din of ones and pitui does depend on her being ru'i leviya. Therefore, she has to be at least 3 years old. Okay, but from the day that she's 3 years old, ad shekibager, until the bagrut, yesh la knas, she does have knas. So those they all the knas applies even to a ketana. What do you mean, yesh la knas? You mean she only has a knas? You can't sell her after she's three? No. Ema ap knas b'mokam mecher. In other words, there's an overlap. It's not a complete overlap, because the mecher starts from 1 day old, and the knas starts from three years old. But you certainly cannot say kol makom sheyesh mecher in knas. That's not true. You have many years, and it's from the age of 3 until the age of 12, in which you have both mecher and knas. And therefore, the Mishnah can only work out. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Now, another area where you have also a question of the same individual, different stages of life, is the question of miyun and chalitza. We know that the Torah says to do chalitza, you have to be a gedolah, because it says im lo yachpotz ha'ish lekata. And we darshan, the ish has to be some of the ish. Ish means velo katan, so too, the woman has to be, in order to do chalitza, cannot be a ktana. On the other hand, there's a halacha of miyun. Miyun applies to a kedushin, which is drabonan. The drabonan wisely determined that a child that has been orphaned and does not have a father's protection is liable to be predated upon, a girl. Therefore, they said, we will allow a kedushin, even though a brother or a mother doesn't have the keach min hatera to accept kedushin for a daughter, for a sister, but we will allow arrangements that are marital arrangements, and we will provide her with a partner, and we'll give it a kedushin drabonan. But with the understanding that it's not necessary to get a get from this type of kedushin if she's unhappy with it. Because we're certainly not going to take a child and put her in a position in which, for her protection, she has this guy, and this guy ends up to be an abusive person. So therefore, all she has to do is say, "I don't like this guy, and I want out." Now that's called mirin.
What did she say that?
Oh, so she—that's the question. So it says the mishnah koma from sheyesh mirin, as long as she's able still to be mima enes, which means that she's still a ketana. So then, in chalitza, by definition, she can't be choletzes. But once she's already an ara, so then she can have real kedushin. Once she shayach the real kedushin, she starts to accept her own kedushin. She's kudel already. So she cannot be mima enes in her current status. But if there's yesh chalitza, komakom she yesh chalitza, that means she's already a gedela. If she can be choletzes, then she can no longer be mima enes. Again, says the Gemara, this din is only true. I'm Rav Yonam Rav, Zudivir Rabbi Meir. Again, this is only true according to Rabbi Meir. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Yesh Miyun B'Makom Chalitza. You can, in fact, be Mima'enet for a short while after the onset of the time that you could do Chalitza. Because just because she could theoretically have made herself married under these circumstances, when she becomes a gedola, that doesn't mean she is married. In other words, if she indeed would go and sleep with this guy, Lashem Kiddushin, okay, so then already it's a bit bad news, and then there's witnesses around her, they see them acting as man and wife, and so on, and then there would be an assumption of Kiddushin to Rabbi Raisa. But still, after she becomes a gedola, for a short period, she could still be Mimanus, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ditanya, Ad Matai Abat Mimahenet, until what point can a girl refuse and therefore annul her own marriage? Achit, remember, of course, we're not talking about a marriage de arise. The father didn't make this marriage. We're talking about a marriage de rabbanan, where the mother or a brother made this marriage. So I'm told she's a gedel, achit avishte saro. The moment she has simanim, she's no longer able to be mine. It's the Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda says no. Even after such time as she's reached puberty, Rebbe Yehuda mer achi yarbe ashachor al halavan. Until such time as she is very obviously a gedela, Rashi, by the way, there takes out the words al halavan, lavan being the color of her skin, the shachor being the color of her puberty, right? Doesn't really mean that. Because the Gemara says over there that it doesn't literally mean she needs more than shtei sa'arot. It just means that she should be obviously a gedela. So, I mean, you would see her, for you wouldn't have to examine her in order to know that she's a gedela. She looks that she's already in puberty.
Speaking of the vines, does this come from with Rivka at all? Doesn't Rashi say her father dies and they...
That's a horrible one.
Kol
makom sheyesh tekiya, ein avdala. Vekol makom sheyesh avdala, ein tekiya. Now, wherever you have, and we're going to discuss this, as Bonet and I discussed it at length yesterday, what exactly a komakom means, but where you have a situation in which you have to determine whether you're going to be making a havdola or not. Because sometimes Yom Tov comes after Shabbos, and sometimes Shabbos comes after Yom Tov. When it's time for Knisat HaShabbat, we know that we have a tekiah. The tekiah is a series of tekiot. The first tekiah is to let people know it's almost Shabbos, they should better come in quickly. And the last tekiah is to let people know that it is now Shabbos, and put away the shofar, they have to stop doing melacha. So, if Yom Tov is coming up after Shabbos, there wouldn't be much of a point in doing now a tekiah, because we've already been mavdil yam from melacha on Erev Shabbos. We're going downhill now. We've been mavdil things, because now you can do things at least with circle matters. But we do have to make a havdalah, because the kedusha of Yom Tov is lower than the kedusha of Shabbos. Okay, we say same thing, Kodesh Lakodesh, but it's still like a havdalah. On the other hand, if there's no havdalah, it's Mitzvah Yom Tov, when would we not make havdalah the Mitzvah Yom Tov? It's Mitzvah Yom Tov of Shabbos. Because when you're going up in Kedusha, you don't make Abdullah, you say Kiddush. So if you don't have Abdullah, then you do have a notification with a Tekiah. So that even though it's Yantif, we are Tekiah in order for people to know we are about to engage in a Chomor day of Kedusha. And until now, if you were cooking, you have to stop cooking. So there would be a Tekiah.
There should be Tekiah.
Yeah. even though it's yontif. So yontif shechal yos berav Shabbos tokin velo mavdili. So if a yontif now comes out on erev Shabbos, so at the time when Shabbos is about to come in, we need to do a tekiah, but we don't do havdalah because we're going into a greater level of kedusha. But where yontif falls out on Mitzray Shabbos, then mavdilin, you do havdalah after Shabbos, ben kodesh lekodesh, velo tokin. But we're not going to be tokiah because we're going now to be makir malacha, not to answer malacha. Ketzad mavdilin, what's the nusach of a havdalah on a Mitzray Shabbos that is a yontif? Hamavdil ben kodesh lekodesh, which is what we say. Rabbi Deisa omer, ben kodesh chamur lekodesh hakal, which we don't say. And the reason we don't say this, says Rashi, is because it's a zilzul in yontif. We could say ben kedusha Shabbos, the kedusha is yontif, yivdalta, yes, but not. When we use the word kal when it comes to yontif? Says the Gemara, hechi tokea. How exactly do you do a tekiah on yontif to indicate that it's not a standard erev Shabbos? Because after all, it's not a massive difference in kedusha the way it usually is between a regular erev Shabbos and a Shabbos. We're going from absolute chulin to the greatest level of kedusha. Over here, going from a level of kedusha, higher level of kedusha. To make that clear, that this is not a mavdil ben chol lekodesh, but ben kodesh lekodesh. How do I change it? You do tekiah, and the truer part is done as if it's all one note, so that it's you see clearly. I don't stop in between. Whereas Rabati says, no. It's how you do stop. I mean, you have to indicate a difference between a tekiah and a truah, but you don't take a breath. There's no time for a nishima. So, Rav Asher meant okay. May we have a neshima achat? We have the same question on Rosh Hashanah, which is why we do the various tekiahs differently. Askin Rav Asher, but Hutzel Kishvai. So Rav Asher actually instituted the town of Hutzel, where he was the rav, that they should do it the way he said. Now, as the Gemara Meisvei says here, Yontif Shkal Yos Berav Shabbos Tokin V'lo Meriin. L'chora, this price is saying that there's no truah at all. My lav lo miriam klal. No, Rabbi Yehuda betarz the taimi, Rabbi Asi betarz the taimi. Rabbi Yehuda betarz the taimi. Rabbi Yehuda, who says over here that the point is that the truah shouldn't be a separate sound, but should be part of the truah, says lo miriam means lo miriam bifnei atzma. You don't make a separate truah, you make the sound of the truah mitoch atki'ah. Whereas Rabbi Asi betarz the taimi, Rabbi Asi says over here that you don't take a breath in between. Says, that's right. All that the Brisa is trying to say is that when it's Erev Shabbos, that's Yontev, lo mirim b'shtei neshimot. Instead of taking your breath between the Tzki and the Trua, you don't do that. It's all b'neshima achat. Now, the question remains, fascinating question, of what happens on a normal Mitzray Shabbos. The original statement of the Mishnah, Kol Makom Sheyesh Havdalah Ein Tekiah, would seem to be saying that on a normal Mitzray Shabbos there's no Tekiah, because you're making Havdalah. But then the Mishnah goes on to depict the situation of Yontif Shabbos, either Yontif before or Yontif after. Is that saying that that's the only application of the Resha? Or is it saying that in this case, we have to discuss the question of the before and how we do it. But certainly, what the Mishnah says generally, that Kol Makom Sheyesh Havdalah Ein Tekiah is still true, and that on a Mitzray Shabbos there will be no Tekiah. Now, the Ramban and the Rashba both say that, of course, the second part of the Mishnah is not the only definition of the Resha. It's not like we've been saying it's a Nimtza. It's a Nimtza. This is, in order to get into the complexities of this particular case, we bring that. But the general rule stands. If you're going to be making Havdalah, you're not going to be doing a tekiah. Now, there's a number of problems with that, as Rav Barnea phoned me yesterday to point out, and that Josephus claims that the base hatkiahs that we found the sign to recently was used b'motzei Shabbos. And they would do a tekiah b'matzai Shabbos as an indication of being kodesh l'chol.
So Shabbos.
so Shabbos. Now, we know that it's exactly what we do on the Seder Yom Kippur. And the Tekiah on the Seder Yom Kippur, even though we give it all types of mystical explanations and so on, in the Halacha and in the Rishonim, they discuss it, is specifically to be matir, malacha, and eating on the Seder Yom Kippur. The reason we go out of our way to do it is to make sure that mothers will know that it's time to feed their young children that are 13 years old and so on, have been fasting. It's time to get the food into them. Right? But in other words, it's a din in notification of chol. So Josephus' time is that there was always notification of chol. And the question is, therefore, by the way, there's another question, which is, there's a missing letter in the sign. This is just a curious aside. The sign says Lebeit Hatkiyot Le
Hey, and then what's the next letter?
And it's not Le Hey, and then it looks like that there's a Chaf after it. A Ches after it, right?
Chaf.
Chaf or a Ches?
Chaf.
Mistake a Chaf for a Hey?
No, the Hey's look like our Ches today. So and Lid, Beis, Hatzi, Ki'ah, all the Hey's look like you would write a Ches today.
Right,
so
and this
thing
one
shows that's the way that the Hey, Ches was done differently. And this one, which is a Chaf, he's tying is really a Beis, and he shows that
Beis right.
was also done.
So it says, Le, Hey,
Le, Ha, and then what? Is it a Chaf or is it a Beis?
Is it a Chaf or a Beis? So the assumption has always been that it was a Chaf, and that the first letter was. How did they read it?
Either Lehakohanim or Lehachriz.
Right, and he time is that it is.
Lehavdil.
And that it's a Beis.
Yes.
No, so it wasn't a question about the Hayes, it was only a question about the Chaf.
Right.
Okay. All right, so he says it was Lehavdil, right, and it's a Beis. Now, first of all.
Professor Aaron Densky.
Okay. So first of all, I tied it, you can't bring a raya that it's lehavdil, because the lashon of the Mishnah is lehavdil, with a tet, which would mean to make the people stop doing melacha, lehavdil ha'am ni'am lacha. In which case it may just be saying lehavdil. And Josephus was claiming that it was used lehavdil. Lehavdil. The lashon of the Mishnah, all over, whoever brings the din of tekiah, lehavdil ha'am ni'am lacha. This is great for your tourist guide stuff. You never know. You gotta listen in.
For a long time.
So lahavtil, fine. But lamaisa, the shaila is how to learn this Mishnah. In the Gemara at Shabbos, it's mashma that if there would be reason, the only reason that we don't do tekiah is because the tekiah would be done miva od yom. But it wasn't going to be done miva od yom. It was done on the Tzari Shabbos. Right, and the case is in the Mishnah where I'm going to be doing Tekiah on Yontif in order to say, okay, but if it's on Yontif, we're on Shabbos, I'm not going to do it where Yontif comes out after Shabbos, I'm going to do it in order to be Ma'atah. Why should I do a Malacha in order to be Meitel? I mean, I'm a Malacha, but I need to drop on in order to be Meitel. I'll do it only in order to be Ma'atah. Fine. But if it's a normal Mitzvah Shabbos where it's not Yontif, then why not be Tekiah as part of Havdol? Because I want to signify the difference between one and the other. And indeed, the Rambam paskens that on a normal Mitzvah Shabbos, there's a Tia. Like Josephus.
Tia on Shabbos?
No, the Chol. In other words, you wait until after Shabbos and then you're Tokeya to let everybody know. But now, okay, so it's an interesting historical aside. What exactly went on in the Beit HaTkiyot? Ubumbotzei Shabbos. Now, it says in the Mishnah, what do you say? You say, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Heicha Omarlo. Where do you say, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh? Do you start saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Amavdo, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, Ben, is that what you do? Or do you only end, Amavdo, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh? But you say the normal girsa in front, Amavdo, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. That's the question. So, Amar Rav Yehuda B'chatimata. You only say it at the very end, Amavdo, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. But the opening is exactly the same. Amavda ben Kodesh l'chol. V'chein omer Rav Nachman nebechatimata. Rav Sheish is greater than Vida omer af b'pichata. You start off by saying Amavda ben Kodesh l'chodesh. V'let yuchata kavate. That is not how we pass him. We'll see in a moment why that's true. Ben Kodesh Chom LeKodesh HaKal, unless you have Zekavasen, we don't pass like that either. Reb Zera points out, the issue of what you say at the beginning has nothing to do with the day that you happen to be on. And of course you won't say, Hamav Ben Kodesh LeKodesh Ben Or LeKodesh. Because even if Yom Tov came out in the middle of the week, and now it's Tuesday night, and you're making Avdolah, you still say, Ben Yom HaShvi'i LeSheshes Yemei HaMa'aseh. Well, but why? It's not Shabbos. Oh, so that's the point. Yom Tov Shechal Liyot Bemtza Shabbat. You say, Amav Ben Kodesh Shechol Ben Or LeKodesh Ben Yisrael Amin Ben Yom HaShvi'i LeSheshes Yemei HaMa'aseh. Why? My timer. Seder Havdalot Umoner. You're only listing the Inyan of Avdolah. Just like it was an Inyan of Avdolah Ben Or LeKodesh and Maisa Bereishis. There's an Inyan of Avdolah Avdol Ben HaKodesh Ben HaChol. There's an Inyan of Avdolah Ben Yom HaShvi'i LeSheshes Yemei HaMa'aseh. But you're not saying that today is Yom HaShvi'i. Therefore, in our case, it's exactly the same. You don't change Ben Kodesh L'Chol Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. It's the Chatima that has to do with today. But the description of the Havdalot remains exactly the same, whether it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, or whether it's Yom Tov L'Chol, it's all the same. Hagrin Alak HaKosh HaChatim Asherkin Echa B'yot B'shnayim B'behimah Shechitatu Kisheira, which is strange, because how much can you possibly do it? That's all there is. If you're shot too. And that's what Gemara we'll discuss tomorrow. And I see we don't have time to go back to those nice viewpoint that I wanted to discuss with you. So we'll move right on to what is supposed to be after the Kaddish. Mm-hmm.